Hello and welcome to Global Focus in the Middle East with me, Anne-Marie Besada. On February 6th of this year, the Israeli parliament, the Knesset, passed the regularization law. Known by opponents as the land grab law, it was passed with 60 in favor and 52 against it. But what is it exactly? In one simple explanation by Elena Chachko, a doctorate candidate at Harvard Law School who clerked for Chief Justice Asher de Grunis on the Supreme Court of Israel and worked on national security issues at the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs, this law essentially aims to, quote, legalize illegal settlements in the West Bank. Noura Erekat, a human rights attorney and assistant professor at George Mason University, further explains.
So the land grab law is appropriately named for being a land grab law because it describes now the sanction that the Israeli judicial system and the government has given to Israeli civilians to squat and take private Palestinian lands and then to retroactively legalize those takings by providing some sort of compensation, even if the Palestinian landowners are refusing to sell. So it's forcible taking with some sort of compensation, which most Palestinians will refuse to take because they don't want to sell at all.
The law itself doesn't appear to be any different from the usual settlement debates coming from Israel and the occupied territories. In fact, this law didn't make many headlines internationally, but in reality, it does impose some major and irreversible changes. Erekat explains.
So what makes this land grab so much different is it's changing longstanding Israel policy, a legal veneer under which it's been able to steadily encroach the land so that it removes the fig leaf for everyone to see what's actually happening. And two, it empowers civilians outside of the state to take that land without any kind of military necessity to also take private land. There's no declaration of state land as Israel has done under its pre-existing arrangement up until February 2017 when this was approved by Israel's court.
Since the 1967 Arab-Israeli War, the Israelis have made it apparent that they too want the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. In 2005, Israel withdrew from the Gaza Strip, but the West Bank remains occupied territory. The right-wing groups in Israel will often refer to this territory as Judea and Samaria. Erekat explains that while Israel may have coveted those areas, it cannot simply annex them because under international law, territorial conquest is illegal. So in 1977, Israel had already indicated a willingness to give up the Gaza Strip to be able to continue to settle the West Bank.
And that was the specific arrangement articulated in 1993 at the start of the peace process. Palestinians have never accepted this. And yet, as we are seeing by, you know, a fait accompli, this is actually what Israel has achieved.
Legal words aside, what does all this mean? It means Israeli citizens who are in the occupied territories can go to land privately owned by a Palestinian and offer to buy it. But even if the Palestinian refuses, the police and military can force that person off the land and financially compensate the person for it anyway. In the lead-up to the law being passed, there was a forced evacuation of the Jewish settlements Amona and Ofra in the West Bank. Chachko writes that this new law is widely viewed as compensation offered by the Israeli government to the settlers to offset the politically damaging evacuations. Back in December, the law passed its first reading in the Knesset full session, which garnered much international criticism. But not everyone agrees with this policy, as Erekat says.
Israel's Supreme Court has a long-standing precedent since 1979 that said you cannot take private Palestinian lands. Israel's liberal establishment, imagine how funny this is, that Netanyahu is actually to the left of this movement. Netanyahu has disapproved of this. Zippy Livni has disapproved of this. And so there isn't a consensus. This is a right-wing settler initiative that the Knesset has passed, but that Israel's own judicial branch will likely overcome.
I asked ministers from the right-wing Jewish Home Party, including members from the Yesha Council, an umbrella organization of municipal councils of Jewish settlements in the West Bank, to comment on this law, but they all declined to speak. As Erekat mentioned, the Supreme Court does have a history of upholding precedents, which is why the law is being appealed before the Supreme Court. Suhad Bishara is a senior lawyer specializing in land and planning rights at Tadella, based in Haifa, which is an independent human rights organization and legal center that promotes and defends the rights of Palestinian Arabs in Israel, as well as those in the territories. She says their petition to the Supreme Court is based on two main arguments.
One is that the law cannot be valid in the occupied territories in the West Bank, because it clearly violates international humanitarian law, which should be the legal framework by it the occupying power, Israel, should work in the West Bank. And second, that the law violates the basic rights of the Palestinians in the West Bank, and thus it violates the basic law, human dignity, which functions basically as a constitution. If there's a law that violates any of the rights listed in the basic law and it's unproportional, then the law can be declared as unconstitutional and cancelled.
When the law was passed in February, the Attorney General refused to defend it and said he would not represent the government in relation to this law. There's no court date yet for the appeal, but Bishara says she's hopeful that it will be appealed.
There are a few elements relevant here. One is that the Attorney General decided not to defend the law. The Attorney General or the legal advisor of the government, we don't know his position fully in detail, but he already stated to the court, first of all, that he will not represent the government, and he will not defend the law. What that means concerning his position, he's going to be reserving against the law, of course, but we don't know the details, how far he will go and so on. So the government will be represented by a private law firm, but the fact that the Attorney General, the legal advisor for the government, is not going to defend it, and it seems most likely that he will file his position against the law before the Supreme Court, raises the chances for winning the case in the sense of declaring the law as unconstitutional.
In addition to that, Bishara says other groups have been petitioning against the law, along with regular Israeli citizens. At the start of March, in the final moments of the popular Israeli comedy show Goodnight with Asaf Harel, Harel himself used the airtime to criticize the state of affairs in the country.
Ever since the right wing took power, more and more voices are warning of apartheid. Are you kidding? Apartheid has been here for ages. Ages! It's just that we're on its good side, so it doesn't really bother us. We've been abusing the Palestinians on a daily basis for years, denying them their basic rights. In Judea and Samaria, we're taking their lands from them. Once we used the Jewish National Fund to raise money to buy the lands. Today, we just passed a law saying we can just take their lands and that's it.
But how has the Israeli government been able to push for this law? Erkat explains this comes from the territory Israel has occupied since the 1967 war that is considered stateless.
Because they belong to no one. Israel has insisted that Jordan and Egypt were just trustees and had no legal title, that Palestinians have no sovereignty, and so that you can't occupy a non-sovereign. And instead, under this legal fiction, and despite the fact that the International Court of Justice, the Red Cross, the International Criminal Court, the United States, the General Assembly, the Security Council have all said absolutely not, Israel has continued to apply occupation law on an ad hoc basis to be able to steadily take the land and remove the population.
Following the passing of this law, one of the initiators of it, Yoav Kish from the ruling Likud party, was quoted as saying, "The change of political strategy has started with the regularization law. We were chosen to lead a nationalist government, and strengthening the Judean and Samarian communities is an essential aspect of that." Kish did not respond to repeated requests to be interviewed for this report. Naftali Bennett, the education minister and head of the Jewish Home Party, was also quoted as saying, after the passing of the law, "This is a day of great pride. It is a day when 500,000 residents of Judea and Samaria and all the citizens of Israel can pick up their heads and know that not only are we the residents of this country, but we are even in the books of the State of Israel. The next step is to implement sovereignty of Israel in Ma'al Adumim, and then to implement the law in all of Judea and Samaria. I will do that when we have 30 seats. People said it wouldn't happen, and here it has happened. And that is the fear. Right now it is legal for an Israeli citizen to claim private land in the West Bank. That fact remains until the Supreme Court, for example, deemed it unconstitutional and illegal. Naftali Bennett was unavailable for comment for this report. But in the meantime, Bishara explains.
We have a motion to freeze the implementation of the law until a final decision is given, and that's still pending before the Supreme Court. So hopefully we'll get a decision soon on that, because once they start implementing that, it makes it more complicated in terms of legal examination of the law. There will be third parties brought in. It will be, I mean, it might be irreversible steps.
As I stated at the beginning, this law does have profound implications in the ongoing Palestinian-Israeli conflict. But for some reason, this law has not attracted much international attention.
The fact that we're now in 50 years of occupation, 68 years since Israel's establishment, and the international community has failed, has absolutely failed to resolve this issue, and in fact has allowed Israel to continue to establish a status quo, in fact, that they then retroactively deem legal, or at least attempt to deem legal, makes this the last thing that most leaders want to deal with.
Just at the end of this week, Israel's Security Cabinet approved the building of the first new settlements in the West Bank, the first time in two decades. That's it from me for this month's Global Focus on the Middle East. Thank you to Alain Bleu for his help in putting together this report.